When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
So what?
So what? So let's dance.
Good afternoon, folks. Yes, welcome back to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Here we are again, Jeffrey Paul. How the hell are you, buddy?
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Sitting in with us today, none other than Jeff Cerulli to my right. What's up, Jeff? How are you, bro?
Yeah, what's going on? Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming out, man. We're here. We are. It's in the middle of baseball. Baseball right after the deadline. A lot of action going on the deadline. But first, hey, we want to thank our first sponsor. That's Jeffrey right. Paul, do the honors, buddy.
That's right. We are sponsored now by Uptown Linden Incorporated. Uptown Linden, located at 400 Wood Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. Every Tuesday night, free concerts. Every Thursday night, free comedy shows. Every Saturday from 10 to 2. Farmers Market, dozens of vendors. Come down to Linden, check it out.
Thanks, Linden. Appreciate that. And if you do want to sponsor the show, give us an email at sportsbookboxofficepodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon page set up, so give us a look. We're looking just to keep the lights on, folks. That's all we're looking to do, you know? But thanks again, Jeff. A lot of trade deadline action last week here. What do you think? Big moves, big winners, big losers? What are you guys thinking?
It's still a little too early, I think, to start, you know, evaluating who wins, who lost. I mean, I think a couple of big moves. I think the big move started with Quintana getting traded to the Cubs. I think that sets the thing in action. I think look at the dividends that this trade paid off already. You know, when we went into the All-Star break, where the Cubs were, 4.5 back?
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here today at the end of July. They're a half game up now on the Brewers. I think the other big trade was the Yankees, obviously.
Me and
you talked about this off the air, but I thought this was monumental. I think, look at how bad the Yankees have played for, what are we going to say, close to almost like 8 weeks now.
6 weeks. Okay? They have not won a series until this past weekend.
Okay. How much ground did they really lose to the Red Sox?
Barely any.
There you go.
They're about three and a half out now.
And I think now what this does, this sets the Yankees up not just for this year, but for the upcoming years. I'm going to say the next 2-3 years. But let's talk about this year for a second, all right?
Mm.
They by far, and I don't think either one of you guys could debate this, they have the best bullpen in baseball, okay?
No one's going to question
that. And what they're effectively doing is they're shortening the game. Because now their pitchers, just like in 96, they don't have to have superior pitching. They just need to go five plus innings, because they're going to throw out Chapman. Chapman's not pitching well right now? Fine. You can have Robinson close the game. Betances is coming around a little bit, mm-hmm. okay? Still not where he was, you know, pre-All-Star game, but he's much better than he was in the last couple of weeks. I told you about that kid, Tommy Kahane. I mean, he fucking throws heat.
Yes.
And he could be a closer in his own right. Then on top of it, throw Green. I think
David Robertson?
Robinson's great. I think
Chad Green. Yeah, I'm surprised you remembered him. He's huge.
And Adam Warren. So now, think about before that trade. I don't think they win that Seattle series. And Seattle was really nipping on their heels. Now they put a little distance between themselves and Seattle. Tampa Bay is coming back down to earth. They just kind of got swept over the weekend. So I think the Yankees...
They come into town on Thursday, by the way, Tampa Bay.
For a very big series.
Yeah.
So now I think what this does is it puts the Yankees, at the very least, in a good position, a lower end, like a four starting pitcher. They're not trading Frazier. They're not going to trade Mateo. They're not going to trade, you know, any of the big-time prospects. Not trading Torres, so you don't have to worry about that. They can take on a little bit of money. I could also see them maybe even taking on getting another first baseman. They've been trading for first baseman left and
they
right.
They did. They traded for one yesterday.
Yeah, right.
They got
from the Blue Jay. They traded Refsnyder. No big loss.
It's funny. He was always a guy who was coming up through the ranks like he's going to be like another solid guy. He just never got enough shakes.
You know what he is? He's a 4.5 prospect. He's one of those guys that, you know, that he's really good in AAA, but they just don't cut it quite on the major league level. The Mets had a guy like that named Alex Ochoa.
Yeah, I remember that guy. But I don't
Alex
think he got
Ochoa.
It.
Wow, yeah. What a name dropping Alex Ochoa. They think he's going to be talking about Benny Agbayani. Jesus.
You know what? Benny Agbayani at least played in the major leagues
in
had a good World Series. They had a good playoff.
I was there.
Okay. But, you know, Alex Ochoa, he was one of these guys that never made it. And then there was another trade out there. What was the other trade, Kevin?
There
was another big trade. Oh, I thought the Nationals trade was a good one, too. It really solidified that bullpen.
Oh, Sean Doolittle.
Sean Doolittle and Ryan Madison. Now, combine that. I don't know if you guys just heard about 20 minutes ago. I just heard that Kershaw
is now
out for 6 to 8 weeks. Now they got a big lead.
I knew he was out, but they didn't say six. I knew he was in the DL.
6 to 8 weeks.
Well, there goes the Sonny Gray and Yu Darvish sweepstakes. You just got a fucking a lot more suitors.
And what do you think the Rangers are going to ask for Yu Darvish?
The world.
There you go. That's exactly the world. Right. So that's why I kind of think, you know,
and they had to do that deal because they will
pick up a starter.
6 to 8 weeks. So we're at the end of, let's just call it August. Well, it's now August virtually. So that puts us in the middle of September. Wow. In the middle of September.
The deadline's at the end of this week.
Right. I'm saying for Kershaw to come back is 6 to 8 weeks. So that puts us in the middle to end of September already.
Right.
Jesus Christ. But they have a good, I look at that division.
They are going to make a trade. They're either going
to pick up
Gray or Darvish. I wouldn't be surprised if they even try for both.
I think this is the Dodgers are now at the point where it's now or never for them. Like, they had such a run this year. They've put up all this good karma. It's like they've always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. It's kind of like, we're going to fucking do it. Kind of like the Cubs of last year, though. It's kind of like
an overrated team.
They are, which is why I'm saying now they're going to fucking pull the trigger on something because we're tired of being the fucking, you know, the quarterfinals champion. We're tired of finishing fourth place.
They need that number two and number three pitcher. I mean, they got it with Wood. Wood's not going to be a number one. And I think we kind of agree. He's kind of a little pitching over
his first loss the other day.
Yeah, we've never seen him, you know, he's not going to win 11 games in a row, you know, all year. Okay. Now with Kershaw not there, they have to get pitching. Their bullpen's fine. It's okay.
It's fine. You're exactly right. It's fine.
It's fine. The back end of it is excellent. You know, Jansen is great. A little hiccup the other night. But other than that, he's fine. But without starting pitching, man, I think I'm looking at it. I'll say it right now. I think looking at the National League, I like the Nationals.
Ooh. You can't say that. Can't say that with that bullpen. That bullpen's still not lockdown.
I don't think they're done.
Okay. I mean, we have a week until the deadline. That's fair. But obviously, I like to bet. I will never bet on a team that's never proven anything like that, who's a consistent bid shitter like the Nationals. That is almost – it's like betting on the Eagles not to win the Super Bowl.
Well,
safe bet.
Can you believe they didn't go with that name when they did the contest to name the team, the Washington Bed Shitters?
I think that was the runner-up, though.
Because they were going to say the president. It was going to be a bunch of people like in costume shitting their pants running during the seventh-inning stretch. When did they do that, seventh-inning stretch?
Yeah, the four fathers circling the bases. Yeah, one of them drops a deuce at third base.
Yeah, it would have just been different. Your favorite characters just shitting their pants.
Good God, King. That's Benjamin Franklin shitting his pants in the home – the on-deck circle.
What you're saying about the Dodgers is right. They're always, I mean, going back to like 2000, they're always like around, you know, some years off, but they're always kind of in it, maybe not a serious contender. And it's like this year they're playing out of
because
their minds.
Because you get exposed in the playoffs.
Sure. Sure.
You
know, but Kershaw is
not a big-time postseason guy.
Right.
Okay. And they've never had like, you know, another guy. You know, they had Greinke.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know the thing is with the postseason is like if you notice most games you're kind of close up into the sixth, seventh inning, then bullpens take over and benches take over, and the Dodgers never had that type of depth, and that's why they wind up always losing to a team like the Cardinals or the Giants.
I'm going to re-raise your statement about the Dodgers to the 2000s. Let's go back to the early 90s, and they had the Rookie of the Year for four or five years in a row. They always had that top guy coming out, and they
Eric
always
Karros, would get Piazza,
Offerman, Nomo,
Nomo.
Oh, come on, the first baseman. Who was the first one who come out, the Rookie of the Year?
In the 90s?
Todd, fuck. You made me look this up.
Todd Hollingsworth. Todd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys didn't really pan out.
Piazza, Nomo.
Nomo was okay. He's not anything great. Piazza's the only really one. I mean, look at guys who make the, you know, the Rookie of the Year. Many of these guys are just like Chris Kogan.
Bob Hamlin.
Right. Come on. I don't put a lot of stock into Rookie of the Year.
I'm just saying, but they had they're always
in the mix. They're always there. And what you're saying, you're not wrong about it. It's just especially the past, you know, 5-10 years. They got smacked by the Mets 1 year in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, they ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, the Mets had that pitching. DeGrom was outstanding. Harvey was Harvey. You know,
say Harvey was Harvey. Harvey caught a hot trick for a hot second. He's been not.
No, no. Good. Listen, Harvey had two seasons where he was really good and then got hurt. And that's the thing with Harvey. And I think with that great medical staff that the Mets have, I don't think Harvey ever came back healthy. And I think he and it just perpetuated, you know, his injury.
That and he's also a
I'm not ready
he's
to
not
give up on
seriously.
Him 100%.
He's yeah. not he doesn't take it seriously.
You
he's
think
always
that's
out
what his problem
raging.
Is?
Yeah. Yeah.
With Harvey, he just doesn't.
He wants to be Derek Jeter, but he doesn't act like Derek Jeter. He wants to be slaying
puss,
which
that's
is
that's
fine.
That's it, Jeff. Yeah. He doesn't want to put
that's,
in the work.
That's right. In every sport. You just don't know what's going to happen when a guy gets money. You just don't know
that's it.
How
right.
you can see things like you want to see, like one of the things like with Porzingis, I'm a Knicks fan. He was saying the right things coming out. He wasn't crying about getting booed. He's like, I know a lot of foreigners are
that,
soft. I want to come in here and prove everybody wrong.
That impressed
that was
the shit
right
out of me.
Mentality.
Exactly.
But someone like Harvey, yeah, he goes on Fallon, getting the accolades, started in you know the All-Star game, but it's like it's so you got to put in the fucking.
He liked
work.
The celebrity
the
that
work.
Went along
yeah.
with it. You touched on something. I want to hear your
That's
opinion
what I'm saying.
On
you
this.
Can only predict so much.
Right.
Like, you want to hear the right things. You want to see the right, you know, pedigree. Like, Peyton Manning came from, you know, the lineage of quarterbacks. So you can do things to predict, but you just never know. Sometimes a guy gets money and they're not going to work.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You're a Knicks fan, right?
Yes.
Are you willing to give up Porzingis for Kyrie?
No, that's not even a real thing. That's not even a real thing.
I can't.
Do you want to trade Michael Jordan for a bag of balls?
No, it's not, I don't think he's coming here. I think he might get traded.
I think he's absolutely getting traded.
I can't blame him because you're on.
Why?
Well, look, LeBron's leaving, right?
Okay.
We know that. He's to give no.
Do we know that?
Yeah, we do know. We don't know 100% for a fact, but he's never given any sign that he's staying past next season.
So why?
They also shopped him. You know that. They secretly shopped him.
They shopped Kyrie. Oh, in the offseason.
LeBron's not
right.
staying. Why does he want to be the fall guy when LeBron's going, that he's got to stay on this team that was built for LeBron? LeBron's not
because
even
I
there.
Because I think right now, I think
why can't he do his own thing?
I think Kyrie's acting like I think Kyrie's acting like a baby.
He's acting like a baby, but he probably doesn't also like playing with LeBron, doesn't like being under
That must suck, having to play with a guy who's the best player in the league, who's a great distributor, who's a great leader, okay? And his bitching is that he's not the man. Guess what? You know what? Kyrie wasn't so great before LeBron got there.
Not fair to judge.
He was also always hurt and everything. Is Kyrie a top 3-point guard?
No, what you're getting with Kyrie is you're getting a fantastic offensive player. You're not getting much defense.
Does he play defense?
Can he be the best player on a championship team? No. But if he wants to go start his own thing, can you really blame him? I mean, look, at the end of the day, he's a flat earther. You're dealing with a guy who's a flat earther.
Stop for one second. He's going to start his own thing? Where is he going to start his own thing? Where is he going?
Well, he could go to the Suns if they flip him for Bledsoe.
Who are they going to have to get more than Bledsoe?
Well, yeah, Bledsoe would go, and then you'd have him and Booker.
And then again, he's in the exact same situation if he's in Cleveland, where he's playing with nobody.
You're mistaking it for, I think it's a great idea. I don't think it's –
I hate what's going on in Cleveland. I hate LeBron. I think he's a baby.
But there you go.
Okay?
You just said – so
but,
how
but
can
I
you
think,
blame him for not wanting to play with him?
But I also think Kyrie is a baby as well by whining that his complaint is he's not the man – he's not getting enough respect. But you know, when you have LeBron James on your team, you got to, you know, default to that.
But
that's like complaining like on the 87 Oilers that Mark Messier is complaining that he's not the man because Wayne Gretzky's
Mark
there.
Mark Messier would never do that. Mark Messier was a fucking man. And then he says, you know what, I'm going to the Rangers, and I guarantee you, I love Mark Messier.
Great. Love that.
Good analogy, by the way.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this before you drop this. Okay. If you're Kyrie and you believe you're better than he probably is, right? He's not making all NBA teams because it's just he's playing under LeBron, so you're better than we probably the general consensus thinks he is. He hit the game winning shot in Game 7 of the Finals, got chopped. He got chopped. It's out there. It's reported. The Cavs were trying to trade him. You wouldn't be pissed at that, and LeBron's going to leave in 2018.
First of all, there's no guarantee he's going to leave. But even if he does, stay the year. Listen, you know, Kyrie was more than happy to take the money and sign the contract. Now he's going to dictate terms on where he's going to go.
Gotcha.
And he wants to get traded. Stay the year, play, and see how it plays out. Worst case scenario, you don't want to play with LeBron. LeBron leaves. Make Cleveland your team again. They'll have plenty of cap space. They'll be able to sign somebody. You're still going to have Love on the contract. And then maybe LeBron takes the bloated contract of Christian Thompson
He's
with him as well.
He's going to the Lakers. It doesn't make sense for him to go anywhere else. You know, he's going to the Lakers.
I think it makes no sense for LeBron to go out west where you're going to get the shit kicked out of you on an every night basis. The playoffs are going to be a war. There's about four or five teams where, you know, there's no guarantee he's winning championships. You know what he's going to wind up being?
He's going to have a harder time.
He may never win another championship again. The way to go is to go healthy, stay in the East, build a team in Cleveland or somewhere in the East, and that's, I think, his best route to get another championship. Because, let's face it, for the next, 3 years, no one else is coming out of the West besides Golden State, unless there's some type of catastrophic injury.
You don't know with injuries, and you also don't know when contracts are up again, if Klay Thompson leaves. You don't know. There's unpredictable things here.
When you take on LeBron, say they go to the Lakers, say goodbye to all those role players, because now he's going to eat up a big part of that cap.
You're looking at it from a purely basketball standpoint. LeBron spoke about how he wants to be the first billionaire. It's beyond basketball. What you're saying makes sense. Stay in the East. It's a much easier path to the finals. But that's not how he's
I'm looking at legacy. And he wants to go play in L.A.
But
you can make as much money in L.A. that you can in Minnesota.
I know. But you know? This is just where it's
at. But it's dumb, though, because he gets how many fucking millions of dollars for endorsements.
He's playing in Cleveland.
Yeah. He's making easily 100, exactly. Well, I don't know, 100
so it doesn't
million
make
in endorsements.
He goes to L.A. How much higher could his pro? He starred in movies like
with Ball.
Okay. And then
and
who's
Ingram,
playing? Who's, and what if Ball
is going to attract
more
free agents?
Isn't
and
all that
also
good?
Paul George. Yeah. Paul George is going to go there too.
You got
LeBron, Paul George, Ball, and Ingram. You got something there.
Paul George said if they win and they do well.
I think he's just saying that. He's there.
If they sign LeBron and Paul George.
Paul George is on record.
That is it.
Mm-hmm. Paul George is on record saying it's not enough to go to the Lakers.
Fantastic. Let's say that happens. That's still not enough to beat the Warriors.
I mean, who's to say? We don't know what Golden State's going to look like in 2 or 3 years. We just don't.
I think it's all
short-term deals right now. If I could see Klay opting to get huge money somewhere else.
I can't.
I can.
I see. I think all these guys have their head on straight, and they're all looking at the long term, rings, legacy. Guys are taking less money to stay on the team. They draft well. Free agents want to come and play with this team and get a ring. Look what Nick Young just did. David West.
JaVale McGee.
Right. He's going to wind up taking less. They got a nice – and they got some real nice young players. Who's the second-year kid who just
– McCraw.
Right, just tore it up this summer in the summer league. So I think they have a real good balance. Now, listen, could something happen? Could an injury happen? Yes, it can. It happened to Durant during the regular season. But if they're healthy during the regular season, I don't see anyone coming close to the Warriors.
The best team probably ever built at the moment. I mean, they're fantastic. You watch them against Cleveland. Cleveland was playing at some points so well. Kyrie was playing great. LeBron was playing great. They're working so hard for their points. Whereas Golden State comes down, Curry's covered, Klay's covered, Durant's open in the corner for
and
three.
And 3 years from now, what's LeBron?
Well, LeBron's he's not going to be at this level in 3 years, but he's superhuman. He's still technically the best player.
I agree with you.
Still, right now,
I think
he is the best player. He can do the most.
But I think when you sign LeBron James, you're also really giving up a lot of cap room, and you're not going to be able to fill out the team. I see him going out west, getting beat up, and not ever making it to another championship game.
I'm not disagreeing with you there, but I'm just saying what I think is going to happen.
Where should he go? What would make the best move basketball-wise? Should he stay in Cleveland? Well, I mean, Gilbert's a clown. He's a joke.
No, he's terrible. But where he'd go? Yeah, I mean, the only places that make sense for him is Cleveland, where he's from. He's not going to go back to Miami or the Lakers or going to Los Angeles.
Could
San Antonio?
No.
Doesn't fit there.
Absolutely not. Neither does Kyrie.
No.
God forbid, a coach asks you to play defense, and that's why I don't think he's going to Minnesota either. But could you see anything
saying he's not a good defender?
Kyrie?
No. Oh, LeBron. I think.
No. I think LeBron's I think you can do anything.
Oh, Kyrie. Yeah, Kyrie. Right. I mean,
that's why
he's got the rap. I mean, once that no defense thing sticks with you, like people say about Curry, and like Curry's not the greatest defender, but I think Curry tries.
I think he works.
I think he puts an effort in. And people are like, Curry doesn't play defense. And it's like, you're just saying that because that's what people say.
Mm-hmm.
Once that sticks on you, it is so hard to get rid of because it's almost something that you can't
prove.
Because there's always going
to
be clips of a defender blowing past you. And you're like, oh, you see? And it's like the James Harden, he played better defense this year, but that is never going to go away.
No.
Because he was a fucking dog for so many years not playing defense.
Steph is also overshadowed by Thompson as a defensive player as well. Can you guys see any type of scenario where LeBron comes to the Knicks and Melo stays and Porzingis stays?
No.
No way.
No, Melo, I don't think he'll be playing this year. I think they'll get a deal done one way or another.
I think sports is so much better when it's basketball, when the Knicks are a relevant team.
So you're going back 20 years ago?
No, I was just
going
to say.
Let me tell you, some of my favorite basketball memories, what was the year that the Knicks came out of like the eighth seed?
99.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a fun team to watch, and that was good. And that could probably be the last time I really liked the Knicks. I'm a Net fan too, by the way.
Yeah, I know you're. I know you're a Net fan. I've talked to you because you were dissing the Knicks. And I was like, wait, what's your team? And you're like Nets. So I was like, you guys got no picks. Come on, you're fucking.
Let me tell you
something. My team.
Sean Marks is doing a heck of a job, man.
I like the Russell move. That's a great upside pick.
It's a great move. Yeah. Damari Carroll is a good move.
That's good.
And
for,
them just accumulating picks and players. They're doing the theory. Throw enough shit against the wall. Yeah. Some of it's going to stick, and let's see what happens.
But that reckless spending, it's just, you can't win with that, which the Knicks have done time and time again. Your fucking drunk Russian billionaire did that, and it's just
he wanted to make a
and he got
splash
out.
In
he
New
got
York.
Out right away. Is
you didn't
just
say
yet?
Drunk Russian. You said Russian. We fully understand.
Yeah, so that's like a big thing. I think, and the best thing about this offseason, man, it's like here we are in July and we are talking NBA.
And
this can go on through August, you know.
Which is odd because, I mean, we've got some good baseball here. I mean, the Mets aren't out of it.
Mets are out of it.
They're not out of it yet.
They are completely out of it.
They're still barely.
You're on crack.
The Yankees are floating around. The Yankees are fine.
What's the gateway to the Mets making the playoffs?
None, virtually. But they're still barely. I mean, look,
they're out of it.
Nine and a half
games out of the wild card.
I mean, I guess NL West has it that badly locked up. All right.
They can't sweep a series. They should go two out of three at least.
Over to Progressive Field. By the way, that's a horrible name. In Cleveland for four.
For four, I'd be happy with a split.
I would, too.
At
Toronto, two out of three. I don't know. Toronto's iffy.
Toronto has no pitching. And Sanchez, again, with the blister. You know, I just know it's from my fantasy team. I'm so glad I got rid of that bum. So
home against Boston for three.
You want to take two out of three.
Home and home against the Mets. Two home, two away.
Split.
Always. At Boston for three.
Again, you're probably losing two out of three.
At Detroit for three.
You want to go 2-1. Detroit, especially if Detroit starts trading.
They may. They're on the border.
Verlander, now we talked about this last time, about that big contract, but now the Clayton Kershaw injury really throws a wrinkle in there. And if somebody else gets Darvish, they decide to hold on to Darvish. The Dodgers don't have to worry about
money. I know.
Money.
Well, that's the one team besides us. Seattle at home for three.
Yeah, it depends on because if they go Paxton and Hernandez,
they beat King Felix pretty badly on Friday.
Beat him too badly.
I shouldn't say that. Good enough. Home against Cleveland,
again, and then home against the Red Sox. Where the bullpen wound up winning that game.
I know that.
Right.
And Aaron Judge continues to fucking hit moonshots. That ball he hit, I was watching that on Friday. I said, you got to be shitting me. The guy in the last row caught that fucking ball. The last row.
That's insane.
In the back of the stadium. And it's funny.
Easy to root for, too, right?
He's not an ass. I was reading Mushnick yesterday, and he's like, the guy, he watched that ball for 1 second and then just ran around the bases, head down, like, all right, cool. Guy doesn't talk shit. He's really, and Manfred said it. He's like, he could be the face of MLB for years to come. He's not an asshole. He's not talking shit. He runs hard. He hustles. He just says all the right shit. And he's a certifiable Triple Crown candidate. Let's see what happens.
Is he the MVP in the American League right now?
If everything holds up, why the fuck would not he? That'd be the biggest fix if he were not to be the MVP.
Well, didn't you say last time Trout?
No, I said he's a candidate, but not over Judge because he missed 6 weeks.
Right.
But Trout is still in the conversation, but he's not there.
You know what? This is the gateway for Trout to get in. What if the Angels, because the Angels are only a couple of games back in the wild card,
mm-hmm.
Okay? What if Trout carries them to a wild card?
Here, I read yesterday, the Angels.
And Judge falls off a little bit. I think.
Do the Yankees make the playoffs, though, in that scenario you just gave?
Yeah, see, they do. The Yankees.
It's still Judge.
The Yankees are super deep. You know, I mean,
it's still
they have so much right-handed power. And, you know, I mean, really the odd guy out should be Jacoby Ellsbury. He shouldn't be even
Aaron Hicks. Exactly. Well, Clint Frazier is hitting. He's keeping him on the bench, for Christ's sake.
You don't take Frazier out of the lineup.
No, he's hot.
Are you nuts?
Well, then wait till Aaron Hicks comes back, too.
That's right.
And now you got two guys who fully deserve Frazier, or Gardner, Judge, and
Cashman is saying that Bird is supposed to come back in September.
No, Bird said that.
No, yeah. Cashman said it.
Well, the one, okay, then that, of course, we'll
fucking... Because you don't ever listen to what a player says.
Right, well.
Okay? And if you remember spring training, who was the best player
Bird in was. He's raking the fuck out of that ball.
Right. And the thing I think that killed Bird was... He got hurt and he like foul ball off of the bone, the bone bruise injury, and who knows how bad that injury really was.
But you know what? They say
he never was the same after that.
No, a lot of guys had that same injury. 6-8 weeks later, they're back on the field doing whatever.
It could have been worse than I mean, something just doesn't seem right, because even that quarter of a year, remember, he hit 10 home runs. He played a quarter of a year, 10 home runs, 40 RBIs.
Right.
You know? And then he follows it up with a fantastic spring training.
I mean, he was the heir apparent. It wasn't even a close fucking discussion. Yeah. There was no one there. And
he was the guy. It wasn't supposed to be Judge or Sanchez. Bird was the super
prospect. No, Sanchez was supposed to be there. He was supposed to be 1A and Bird would be 1B.
But they always thought that Bird was the superior of the prospects. That's the reason why. See, Judge could also play first base, and that's the reason why he's playing right field.
Right. Okay.
So they have a lot of confidence in Bird. And that's why I think they want to only go with a short-term rental. That's why I think a guy like Duda would be perfect for the Yankees.
They were actually in yesterday's post.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. They superposed Duda's face in a Yankee fucking uniform.
Who are they saying that they would give up?
Farm guys. Again, nothing too crazy. I forgot the names, but nothing.
Could this happen? Mets trade Duda and Reed. And the Yankees send back Ellsbury and eat a part of the contract.
How much of the contract?
85%.
Oh, fuck you.
Because the Mets aren't going to go for shit.
I mean, they need an outfielder. Like Granderson's talking retirement.
They need a center fielder. And Granderson's gone at the end of this year. He's a free agent.
He said he wants to possibly come back.
Anyone pick him up?
I don't want him back.
Is anyone going to pick him up?
Who?
Granderson.
If he is a free agent, yeah, someone.
If the price is right, they will.
Yeah,
he's not going to get 15-20 million a year. He might get eight.
He actually turned out to be a good signing for the Mets.
Yeah, sure.
Two playoff appearances. He did fine.
But he goes to those stretches where it's like fucking clockwork.
Feast of famine.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, did you watch the Mike and the Mad Dog 30 for 30?
I watched part of it. I didn't think it was as great as people made it out to be. I was a little. They didn't really shed any light into anything I really wanted to see.
What did you want to see?
I wanted to see some more like the behind the stuff, scene stuff. I wanted to see them, really the root of why they kind of like didn't get along. I thought it was more of a fluff piece than it was like a journalistic piece.
I wanted to hear more.
There are much better 30 for 30s than that one.
Oh, God, yeah. I wanted 20 minutes on the nap. That he always
That's not going to be addressed.
Course,
yeah.
That and all the sports writers play, just picking apart how many times they're wrong. And also, like when Russo, my favorite clip of all time is when Nero goes, dog, there's a lot of movies coming out. There's one coming out called Daredevil. It's a story of a blind superhero. And Russo goes, true story, Mikey, true story. Dude, on YouTube, it's got like 10 million fucking hits. Just the goofy shit like that, I wanted to hear.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It was only like an hour long, hour and change long. They could have stretched it out. I mean, they hit all the fucking notes, but I wanted to hear more on the fucking, on the disharmony and all that shit. But you're right. Definitely the nap. That never going to have that. And a lot of how people are just sniping at him too. You're right. No one's like, oh, these guys are just full of bullshit. Or
there
they
was
suck.
Like a better one, with the 85 Bears is a good one.
God, Bo Jackson was my fucking favorite.
Bo Jackson one.
That was my fucking favorite.
There was one that came out. I was watching this in April when I was at the gym.
El Duque?
One and done. Calipari.
That was good.
Didn't see that one.
Just go down the list. The OJ one, obviously, that's a different level.
Randy Moss is all right.
The Bad Boys Pistons.
That was good.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. And that, because they really got kind of like the dirt with Adrian Dantley.
That's great.
Okay. And that's what I was hoping was going to happen with the Mad Dog and Francesco one. And they didn't do any. Exactly. They were telling a story.
Did you like the Lakers Celtics one?
Yeah, I loved it.
I liked everything except the voiceover. And people talked about that.
Yeah,
and when I was
bitching about that, I disagree.
I thought it cheapened it. I thought,
why?
I'll tell you why. Because I think you have this fantastic old footage. Like, a documentary, that stuff is priceless. To get the old footage And then you have Mark Wahlberg going, yeah, and then we went to the – it's like, no, you're not on the fucking
You can't
team.
Have the home
and
exactly.
And then we went to the God. Like it, and he was like – then no, we like went it. To the like, garden. And I was like, dude, him and Ice
Mark
Cube
Wahlberg
were both
impression.
Awful. Yeah, I just thought it cheapened it. You're taking two fans. Like, I didn't mind – like Ice Cube in the L.A. Raiders one. I thought that was good. It was like a fan's perspective. The Raiders left. They came back, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was fine. And even Kid Rock was fine in the Pistons one. But something about this, when they were just so wee, it's like, I don't know. How did the players watching that who did these, you know, seven-game battles, and they're watching this, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I don't remember I don't remember Ice Cube on the bench. I don't remember him.
It didn't take me out of it, and maybe I was just, like, so focused in, like you said, on the footage. Yeah. I didn't realize what an impact player that Cornbread Maxwell was.
Amazing.
And, like all the – who was the other guy? Who was the other guy who was, like, the big mouth?
Oh, it was Cormac Maxwell, and then it was ML Carr.
ML Carr. I didn't realize, like, you know, how much
two
of a role
fucking and assholes. Great.
And how like
they were great.
And how tough they really were. Like, uh-huh. like those to me were great, great balanced teams. And how much people hated McHale.
Yeah.
You know, I those are really, really good, man.
So the NBA was good.
That was.
It's not even close now. Like those, like it's late different. 80s, early 90s.
It's, right. It's,
way more
it's
talent
different.
Now. Way
it's,
more talent.
But I like that. But I like that it was a lot more physical. Like, you know, the player, you probably know this, you're a big NBA guy. The player most voted, I can't even speak, the most dirty player for years.
Stockton?
There you go.
Was Stockton?
Stockton.
Yeah. I never heard that.
Yeah, it's pretty dirty. People would always get on him.
Yeah.
I thought it was like Bill Laimbeer.
No, but that's like undercover. Like the guys you suspect.
Yeah.
Not a nice little white boy from
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Well,
with the nut hugger shorts.
He was dirty. He was just dirty. He was just, you know, hold you and just, yeah, be physical.
Ah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go down the list, there's the Mike and the Mad Dog's fine, but there's a million better ones.
The Bo Jackson
one's
my favorite.
Just go down the list. I mean, the Bartman one was fantastic.
The Bartman one is a great one, yeah.
Did it make you feel shitty about liking sports, how fucking terrible they were to that guy when it was like everyone's fault in that section and you just felt like, oh man,
yeah,
ruined this guy's life.
Yeah, you feel
over
bad
nothing.
For him.
They asked him to come out and throw the first pitch out last year in the World Series. Yeah, they did. And he's like, nope.
Probably a good idea.
You know, even though it's still good feelings because the Cubs are trying to do this and they're looking good, he would have still, that would have reopened that fucking wound. You know that. They would have booed him for five fucking minutes.
Moises Alou acted like a fucking asshole.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was like they sold him out.
Stop. Yeah, exactly.
You know what, though? The same thing could have happened with Jeff. Let's say the Jeffrey Mayer was in the wrong section. That could have happened the same thing, too, with the Yankees
fans.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like.
And that was a lot worse.
Oh, that was so egregious.
He literally went over about 6 inches. Because
6 inches? How about 2 feet?
How big is this kid?
He's leaning over. I mean,
but Tony Tarasco is sitting there, and he's got a beat on the ball. And this kid, he should have just gone out with a big giant net and grabbed it out. And then, like, that was a time, no replay. So, hey, home run. Home run.
It was 96. Yeah. By the way, it's funny when you said the Yankees now with the 96 pitching. No, the 96 pitching was so much better than it is now. Yeah. It's not even close.
Go down the roster. What do you got?
David Cone alone. Jimmy
Key was like your third.
Right.
Pettit.
No, but my point was, well, it was
even
well,
the bullpen
was
in that short because you had fucking Mariano for 8 and Wetland for 9. Yeah, you had the Stanton
Graham Lloyd.
But those were one out guys though.
But my point was is you don't
Romeo Mendoza was later
you
too.
You don't have to go more than 5-6 innings, and all of a sudden the game is over, and that's the way I feel like. And I think the Yankees can have their pitchers go, you know, 5-6 innings. I think you can get that at Montgomery. I think you can get that at Really?
Tanaka, I don't know. CeCe Sabathia, I mean, he's having a better year.
First time around, the lineup is great. Second time, but once you start getting that third, fourth time, that's when you start getting knocked around a little bit. That's when the Yankees now start to close the door on you.
But then they're going to burn that bullpen, though, if these guys can't go more 6 or 7, you know? If you keep doing that every fucking game, they're going to burn out.
You're not going to do it every game. Once in a while, you know, someone's going to go 7 innings. And you're going to get.
But we don't have that story.
Or you're going to get a blowout either way. So you can preserve the bullpen.
How many blowouts happen in the playoffs in baseball?
Well,
not often.
The playoffs is a different animal.
Well,
the playoffs, you know, you're going to pitch just about every day. Look what Cleveland and Chicago did last year.
Right.
I mean, how many innings did Miller and Cody Allen pitch?
Fucking Miller came in the 6th inning.
That's right.
I mean, if the Yankees get another starter, I told you this before, I feel a fucking 10 times more confident. But right now, there's not a guy. If it was just Tanaka last year on this year's team, I'm like, you know what? That's cool. I'll roll the dice. I feel a lot better.
They'll get another starter.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure, again.
They'll pick up somebody. It's not going to be like someone who's going to, like, blow you away.
No, there's no one out there that's going to blow you away.
But just someone who can give you some innings.
Right.
And there's also the unforeseen guy. Like, you're like, hey, I didn't see that guy moving. I think another guy who could make a big difference is the lefty out in San Diego. The guy you like.
Hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be good.
I could see him going to Washington. They I don't know also why I'm on Washington.
Because they need the most help there. They're a fucking solid team. They got probably the best duo in fucking starting pitching. I mean, after that, then
he got hurt yesterday too.
Who, Strasburg?
Yeah, they pulled him after two innings.
That's right. I did see that,
and I haven't heard a follow up. And he's good to shit the bed, you know, right about now too.
Yeah,
he'll get some type of injury. He'll hurt his hand or his hamstring. Something weird will happen with him, you know. And Tanner Roark isn't having the year he had last year.
No.
And then the guy Ross is gone for
Gio
the year.
Gonzalez is having a fuck, but he's having a comeback year. He's probably come back player of the year. Good.
He's, you know, he's okay.
I mean, you got Scherzer. You got those three. Scherzer, let's say fucking Strasburg is all right or comes back after a few weeks. You got Scherzer. You got those three fucking guys. Please. It's for them to lose. Period.
Okay.
All right. Well, then maybe the Dodge. I don't know. There you go. Again, Colorado, I told you before, that's my over pick of the year, and they're fucking killing it. Colorado.
They're back. I'm still not 100%. They'll make the playoffs.
They're going to make that. Yeah, whole division is making the playoffs. Arizona, San Diego. They are making the playoffs.
Yeah, no one else is going to make a run. You're right.
Let's switch topics here, Jeffrey Paul. You got some catch any films recently? Anything in the theater? Did you get out and see anything?
I saw the Spider-Man movie.
What'd you think?
I think we spoke about it. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was as good as the one with Tobey Maguire, but I thought it was better than the one with
Andrew Garfield. Yeah. That was terrible. I thought it was better than Maguire, but I think there's a jail call in a good point. He's like, yeah, but Tobey Maguire didn't have Iron Man and all these other Marvel guys helping him out in the film, which is a good point.
Yeah,
I really liked it. Jeff Story, what have you seen this summer? Anything worth a shit?
I just got into on Netflix the Ozark. Is anyone watching that?
No.
It's fucking dark. It's Jason Bateman, Laura Linney. He's working for the cartel. He's like fucked. It's super dark. I'm like three episodes in. It's really good.
Are you binge watching?
I'm binge watching it.
Okay,
binge watching one, two, then three, then the fourth episode, then the fifth.
I'm going to do some binge watching this weekend.
Is that you doing Saul Rosenberg from the Jerky Boys there?
I don't know
there?
What that is.
Do you bring all your shoes and socks when you
in case I forget them.
It's just like every fucking guy who you meet like either at a mic or some shit show. Yeah, I binge.
Here comes old Jeffrey Paul. Here comes Clint Eastwood, Gran Torino, Jeffrey Paul again.
You guys are talking films, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm watching this really great show. You're like, yeah, whatever, fucking shit. You binge watching that, you piece of shit? You binge watching it? You watching all the episodes?
Back in my day, we had to wait till next week's episode to catch a show.
Back in my day, you went to the library.
We got records at the library.
One copy VHS at the library, and you fucking waited like a man.
That's right, and I did that.
I mean, hey, I remember getting VHSs when I was a kid, and they'd have like two copies, and they'd call you.
When
Netflix first started, it felt like that. Remember the DVD in the mail?
Yeah,
I was like, wait, this feels like we're back.
I'm gonna make a little admission. I still get Netflix DVDs.
Ooh,
and
that's
streaming.
That's not even gonna last in a
the
year
only reason
or two.
Why is because if I want to see a film, I watch. Let's say Kong Skull Island just came out.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait 6 months to come on digital, and I don't care. It's like $25 for the digital DVDs. Not yet. It's coming actually tomorrow.
You excited to see it?
I'm okay with it.
He's doing the thing again.
He wants to binge
don't
watch.
Walk into hey, it.
I'm not,
don't
dude. Jeff, I'm fine. Okay.
I'm gonna watch.
You gonna binge watch that? You piece of shit.
Listen, if you're not paying $8.75 with a senior ID, you aren't seeing a movie the way it's supposed to be seen.
No, there's nothing that really gets me excited to go see. I mean, I think
you would like the Ozark.
If you tell me it's good, I'll add
it. Oh, I'm three in. It could fucking, you got to see how it goes. Yeah.
A lot of people love the binge. I've
been watching Ray Donovan.
Not good. You don't like it? Well, hold on. The first season is The second season is great. This third season was with Katie Holmes. And then the last one was, oh, God.
Well, it takes you out of it because Katie Holmes has braces.
The braces?
Yeah.
Do you know what it was, too?
They gave her braces?
I read this. They said that her character was...
I only watch because my wife is like now hooked on this show.
Her character had TMJ, but she wanted to wear fucking braces to really get in character. It wasn't her wearing braces as an act, like a normal person. She wanted to get into character, so she got braces.
I figured that.
Oh, it was just
I love John TMJ. Boyd in that.
Can I ask you
great.
A question?
What?
Are you binge-watching Ray Donovan?
Yeah, you are.
I don't binge-watch anything. Okay, because I don't have time to fucking sit there and binge watch all day.
I tried watching Walking Dead. I know it's your favorite show. I couldn't. I bailed out.
I tapped out.
I'm off. Season two, midway through.
I'm like, I don't give a shit. I just don't fucking care.
Not the season that just passed. The season before had that great cliffhanger. Who died? Then you saw who died, and then after that, it is. It's like the fucking show is being done in real time. Okay? Like we're going to actually watch someone wash their hands and eat. You know, I don't have time for that.
So much exposition.
Nothing happens on the show. I can't take it anymore.
I'm in season two. I put on Facebook. I said, what do you people think? Should I go on? And some people are like, no, eject. And the people were like, no, I like the show. But there may be a two or three episode stretch where it just fucking sucks. I'm like, then I'm done. If I have to wait two or three episodes for a good one, it's not a good batting average. Right.
See,
which is why Breaking Bad is always the best show that's ever fucking made.
I never saw an episode of it.
You should binge watch that.
I'm not going to binge watch
it. I jumped off Walking Dead. I loved Breaking Bad. Yeah, that's why The Ozark feels a little, just because he's working for the fucking cartel and he's kind of fucked and he's got this family.
Right.
You really like this show, huh?
I'm three episodes in. I'm invested now, and I'm trying to sell him so he can yell at you next podcast.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch.
Never gotten into Game of Thrones either. Dragons and all that shit.
No, I told you.
I'm with you there, man.
Not to give a fuck.
Not into fantasy. I'm not a nerd.
Not a nerd.
I like Walking Dead. I like horror stuff. I like zombie stuff. And I watched like the first two, three seasons, and then I just got bored with it.
Yeah,
exactly. This is the same thing over and over again.
It was good with the governor.
I thought the stuff
with the governor was pretty good.
Not even one episode have I watched yet.
Yeah, I haven't even got to that part.
Walking Dead with the governor? No, no, no. They're on the farm with the zombies all locked up in the back.
Oh, yeah, season two.
I quit.
Yeah, you're not even up to it.
I'm done. I checked out.
I watched three then. Yeah. I did watch the governor, and then I think I watched a little of the next, and I was like, it's just the same shit.
Everyone goes, oh, the prison where this shit happens is a nah, fuck the prison.
Yeah, it was pretty good. That's why I was enjoying it.
What about Ballers? You guys watching that?
No.
No, I would like to see it.
And I loved Entourage until the last season and the film. It is Entourage watered the fuck down, big time. It's okay. It has very few. You know what I'm looking forward to?
October, Curb Your Enthusiasm is back.
Oh, great. The best.
Never watched it.
What? Oh,
never.
Really?
Best.
No.
How do you not watch that?
Because I'm one of the 25 people who did not like Seinfeld. So Larry David just never got into it.
You're killing me.
I'm in the minority of that. I get it. Yeah. That's fine. But not
Larry David is the best. That's the only. I have every season on DVD, and I'll keep rewatching. I love that.
Curb that much different? All right,
yes.
Is it better than Seinfeld?
Much better.
Is it?
It's different, man.
It's different.
You're talking about a show on network that you can only do so much. It's like a 22-minute show. And Curb that is on HBO, you can do a lot more. It could be a little looser. Curb's great. They're different shows. I like Seinfeld. Curb is probably a better show overall.
Much quirkier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and Larry David, talking, because it will be a good segue into what you want
to talk
about.
If you like callbacks, you'll love Curb. That's the master of callbacks, that show.
But great characters.
Okay.
Great characters.
Talking about characters, you set them up there.
There we go.
I love that.
We
have to do a top 10 once in a while just to get things up. I said, let's try our top 10 favorite characters in film. There are no right or wrong answers, but mine are always right. So, Jeffrey Paul, we'll go one apiece all around. I'll start off. Number 10, Sean Connery and James Bond. I think he's the best Bond ever.
That's a good one.
Face of the Earth.
Sean Connery,
love him.
Didn't put him on my list, but okay.
Jeffrey Paul, what do you got?
I'm going to go with, again, no right or wrong, guy who I thought is a great character, and this is in no particular order. First guy popped in my
mind. I know
what
it is, Sergeant Barnes of Platoon.
That's exactly
it. I know you.
Love Sergeant. I thought the William Dafoe character and Elias and Sergeant Barnes. Sergeant Barnes was just like, nasty, and he was in this shit. And,
I knew that would be your number one pick.
Loved Sergeant Barnes.
Jeff Cerulli, who do you have?
All right, so I think mine's going to be a little bit more offbeat than yours, but I did a top 10. I got Frank Booth from Blue Velvet, Dennis Hopper.
Oh, that's a great. I forgot about that.
Good one.
With the oxygen. Yeah.
The Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah.
So I love David Lynch. I didn't watch the new Twin Peaks yet, but Frank Booth is a character that I always loved.
I got Tommy from Goodfellas, Joe Pesci, number nine, as Frances would say. Tommy from Goodfellas. I mean, you can't fucking tell. I mean, that guy's a fucking right.
I thought it was. It was a too cliche.
I always had him, Henry. I always had that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Too cliche. It's so great.
I had to go with Clubber Lang.
I love Rocky III. Love Rocky III.
Because out of all of them, it wasn't corny. And like when he's like calling out his wife,
hey woman, bring us some pretty little something on tonight. Be a real man like me.
And if they were going to be real, You know, Rocky's dropping the M-bomb right there. Okay? And it never, that never went down. But Clever Lang, man.
I love that. That's a good call.
We were talking characters. He was a great character.
I love That's my favorite Rocky. Rocky 3. I don't give a shit what everyone says. Love it. Jeff Cerulli, what do you have for nine?
Here's a very underrated comedy, Black Dynamite. Great. You ever see Black
never
Dynamite?
Saw that. No, it's in my queue.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's great. Black Dynamite. That's what I'm going with. It's like a blaxploitation kind of parody kind of movie. It's great. Black Dynamite. Number nine.
I'm appreciating your off the wall Pixar. I do. This is good. Number eight. I'm going to keep it more commercial, but motherfucker, this guy, love him. Frank Drebin, Police Squad, Naked Gun films. Come on now.
Amazing.
Okay. Funny fucking films.
I like the series better than I like the movies.
Well, it's the same shit. All the jokes are recycled. I know why I would say that. But
I get my movies at the library.
No, I'm just kidding.
I got them on a reel-to-reel projector in the garage. What do you got, Jeff?
What voice was that?
That was you.
Oh, shit.
That's your horrible Canarsie accent. Give me number eight, Jeff.
Number eight, I'm going to go Fredo from The Godfather. Oh. I thought Fredo was the more interesting character out of everybody because, you know, he's half a retard, okay?
Because I'm smart. Barry says things. I am.
I got passed over. Yeah. That's not how I want it. I think, also John Cassese, everything he did was great. He was in three fucking things. He was in five movies, and all of them were nominated for Academy Awards. So I'm going to go Fredo, Godfather.
All right. Jeff, Cerulli?
I put Tyler Durden.
Yes.
I hate Fight Club.
Do you hate Fight Club?
I hate it. Yeah. I try watching again.
Overrated.
I can't get it. I tried.
It's turned into a bro movie, but it's a good movie. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time. I would think it's still
what kind
to
of
me.
Movie did it turn?
It's turned into bro a bro movie. It's turned into a frat kind of movie.
It has.
The guys get it.
Dudes had enough. We had enough fraternity house. Someone put that up.
We'll watch Fight Club, and then maybe we'll take our shirts off.
Yeah. Number seven, action extraordinaire John McClane from the Die Hard films.
I have him on my list, too.
Do you really? Well, he's a good fucking character. Let's come to the coast. Have a few laughs. Jeffrey Paul, what do you have at number seven, buddy?
I'm going to go with Gordon Gekko.
Ron Barber loves that call.
Loved Gordon Gekko.
Lunch is for wimps.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, I think he said of kind of like a fashion trend with suspenders during the era.
Yes.
And everybody wanted to be a stockbroker back then.
And the big cell phone.
Oh. Yeah. Love Gordon Gekko.
Good call. Jeff Cerulli.
Here we go. One of the funniest movies ever made, Borat. What a great character. Oh,
I almost wrote that down. Almost wrote that down.
I love that movie, yeah.
Watched it again recently.
That's one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
Funny scene. That film from top
when
to bottom.
When he's fighting with the fat guy?
Holy shit, was that funny. And you go back to the Borat Police Files, the show, the Ali G show. Some fantastic stuff on that. Great. It was always my favorite of the three.
Yeah. Not even so close. That's the best one. I like Bruno was all right, and then the last one was
Bruno was great on the show.
Yeah,
yeah.
On the Ali G show.
Ali G did some great interviews. Like he did. Buzz Aldrin. Absolutely. And, like, there was some really good ones. My main man, Andy Wooney. Like, he had some really good ones. That was a terrible
Number six, I'm going to go a little off the beaten path. Randall from Clerks.
Oh, great.
Fucking love that film. But I rewatched Clerks 2 over the weekend. Boy, that's horrible.
You know what?
Boy, that's Clerks 2 is horrible. Randall.
For some reason, I liked it.
I was going to say
Clerks 2?
When I saw it, I liked it. I'm not going to lie.
They try and put him into overdrive, and it's just like, Clerks 1 is excellent. That's one of my top five films, first personal favorite films. Love Clerks 1. Clerks 2, ugh.
Clerks 2 is terrible.
Right.
But you know, sometimes you just like a movie, and you know it's not good, but you like
it.
I think because I saw it at the time, and I didn't want to like it, and I was like, I kind of like this. I don't know. I like Rosario Dawson.
Her titties are so good.
Oh, she's amazing. And I was like, I like this, and it's not good. And I don't think it's good, but I do like Clerks 2.
Yeah, it was not. It was just too much. All right, Jeffrey Paul, what do you got at six?
I'm going to go Colonel Nathan Jessup in one of my all-time favorite movies. Nicholson's
only three scenes, really, though.
He's only in the movie for 20 minutes, but he steals every fucking scene that he's in. I think it's Nicholson as... I'm going to go with my first real big commercial one. Indiana Jones.
Yeah. I debate about putting him down.
That's the way I felt with James Bond, but I just kind of like the Indiana Jones movies better. I thought the first two were great.
Wait a minute. Stop. You're going to tell me The Last Crusade is not good?
No, I love it.
That's the third one.
I know, but
you're going to tell me the one and two is better than three?
I love one and two, yeah.
I do too, but I think three
There's nothing better than like the Nazis' faces melting, you know, and turning to the skeleton. Kind of, that was great. And those weird guys who pull your heart out.
The thuggies.
Come on, man.
That was great. No, I love them.
The first two are great.
Dude, I think the third one was the best.
With Sean Connery.
I love it. I love the third one.
It's
so
a good,
good
one, but no, like, I kind of like the first two. I like them all. I mean, the first two, I think, were
Great. Not the fourth one.
The one with Shia LaBeouf is brutal.
Kid Crystal Skull.
Surprisingly, a controversial statement these days. Nothing better than seeing a Nazi's face melted. Everyone's like, well, I don't know. Should we melt Nazis' faces? I don't know.
Social justice warrior Jeffrey Paul here, guys.
I don't know. Should we melt Nazis' faces? I don't know. Now, what do you notice about this list? All guys, right? It's all dudes. Now, I'm breaking it up here. I was like, who is, like, the sexiest, hottest character in a movie? This is one of them.
Hold on a second. If you say Jessica Rabbit, I will kill you.
Jessica Rabbit. No, you might have her. Black Swan, Mila Kunis, Lily. I mean,
I'm not a Mila Kunis guy. I'm one of the She was a 12-year-old boy.
What kind of guy are you?
Yeah.
I'm a guy who likes Denise Richards in Wild Things. Yeah. That's what I like.
To me, I go with Mila Kunis.
All right, that's cool. We got 6 minutes. All right, there you go. We're going to keep moving here. Number four on the list, we got none other than one of my all-time favorite films. It's a cult classic. I don't know anyone who hates this. If you do hate it, you can go fuck yourself. Jack Burton, Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, amazing. Mm.
Kurt Russell. Mm. Goddamn right. See, there you go.
Okay.
We got it there, Jeff Paul.
I'm going to go Roger Kent. Better, you guys would know better as a Verbal.
Oh, Usual Suspects. Fucking love it.
You know, I love Usual Suspects.
One of my top 10.
It's great. And I think it's also one of the best performances. But I was also kind of like, again, you know, Kevin Spacey, I was on the verge of either Verbal. Or did you ever see Swimming with Sharks?
Yes.
And you know, he was like the real slimy Hollywood producer. That's a great, great character. But I went with Verbal because just really, I mean, that performance just stays in my mind. He's great.
Swimming with Sharks, the one with Frank Whaley?
Yeah. Did you like that?
Yeah.
He's also a bit of a dick in
Glenn Gary Glenn Ross, Spacey.
He is.
Yeah.
A bit of a shithead, but I like that's a nice one. Go ahead, Jeff. What do you got?
Jeff, you're from New Jersey?
Staten Island.
Oh, you from Jersey?
Yeah, I am.
All right, well, we got one superhero from New Jersey. That's the Toxic Avenger. The only superhero
from
New Jersey.
Yes.
I have the poster in my living room. Tromaville. Toxic Avenger. I don't love Troma, but I love
Deep
that.
Cut.
I love like, that
I
movie.
Kidding. I told you I was going to pick cut. Offbeat. Toxic Avenger is just kind of stupid funny.
I'm enjoying your list.
Yeah.
I like it. I got number three. I got Stifler from American Pie 1 and 2. My God, that motherfucker cracks me up still. Funny shit. Funny shit.
Yes.
Okay, I think for a funny guy, I'm going to go Peter Venkman.
That's mine, right here.
Ghostbusters.
From Ghostbusters. I mean, again, every scene that he's in.
Yes, it's true. This man is no dick.
Right. I mean, he has so many goes quick little like one-liners. He's Vince Vaughn before Vince Vaughn was, you know, started doing Vince Vaughn in every single movie. So I'm going to go Peter Venkman.
All right.
That's who I put. I put Peter Venkman right there.
Split it up. All right. Yeah. Number two in the list, you like Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones, but I like him as Han Solo. I'm not a nerd.
I don't watch that gay shit.
Yeah.
You watched that. I was watching
Han Solo. Yeah, I'm sure you were. On fucking 8mm, I bet. Han Solo, number two, without a question in the world. What do you got, number two, Jeffrey Paul?
I'm going to go Andy Dufresne.
He's on my honorable mention list.
Andy Dufresne. I don't know if it's how much I like him as much as I liked Red.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Andy Dufresne.
Excellent.
Number two, this is a sports podcast. One of the best sports characters of all time, Ricky Vaughn. What a character.
I didn't see Bob Uecker.
The Penal League.
Yeah.
California Penal League? Penal League.
Good
Ricky
one.
Vaughn. I just watched Major League. I think that's why I was in my head. It was on cable.
Love it. Number one, here's no surprise if you know me, Al Chervik, Caddyshack, Rodney Dangerfield. Come on now. Best fucking.
Good one.
Love it. Honorable mention goes to Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man and Vince Vaughn in Swingers.
Yeah.
Iron Man is fucking. Stop.
I like Vince Vaughn in Swingers. I just put this one down. Old movie, Atticus Finch. I don't know if you
Gregory
did.
I loved
the book, and I thought this was one of the rare times where the movie kind of like is almost as good as a classically great book. So I like Atticus Finch. I think you know, nod goes to that.
One of the best things to do is my sister's an English teacher. I used to be like, Boo Radley, what a great ghost. Mm-hmm. And she would get really pissed. And that was an old joke when I was a kid. Number one, my favorite Tarantino movie, I think the most digestible Tarantino movie, the most watchable, rewatchable.
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction's great, and it probably is his best work, Reservoir Dogs.
I love it. Good to play a game with the opening weekend grosses of films that are coming out. So we're going to recap from the last few weeks here.
Yeah,
hold on one second.
Quick.
Jeffrey Paul, the first one this past weekend. Christopher Nolan, the best director in the last 20 years. Let's call
according
a spade
to
a spade.
You.
Who's a better director in the last 20 years, Jeff Cerulli? Christopher Nolan or Martin Scorsese? Last 20 years.
James Dolan. Nolan's done more stuff recently, right?
Mm. It doesn't make him better.
No, but I'm saying, if you with Scorsese, how many films do you have? Like two in the past like 5 years? Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street, which was like 17 hours. It was good.
It didn't feel like
that. It felt long. It was 3.5. I liked it, but it was long.
It's one of my favorite.
It was good. I like
it. One of my favorite newer movies.
He also did that kid Christmas film, too.
Oh, Hugo.
Yep.
The kid. That kid crazy sound like him checking out movies at the library.
Sarge texting, Naked Gun is awesome. So there you go. All right. Dunkirk, story of World War II, English retreat.
What was the number?
Budget of 150. Jeffrey Paul, what do you have for our guesses? Well,
we were all over the place here. I said 11, you said 37.
I win. 50.5 million.
Okay, good. I'm glad to see the public going out and seeing them. I want to see that.
Worldwide, it made over 100 million, which is only another 50 million. Look. Yeah. Coming. Okay, and we have one from the previous week. Budget of 150, the film that, fucking stupid. War for Planet of the Apes.
My son and his friends just went to go see it. So
What'd they say? They
liked it.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
I thought this was a kind of movie that kids would go see. So I thought it would do decent box office. So I said 47 million. You thought it would be huge at 64.
You said 47. I said 64. 64. I get it. 56 million opening weekend.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
We're
pretty close right there.
Okay. All right, Jeff, here's where you're going to jump. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 5 films. This week coming out, Charlize Theron. I'm going to call it the female John Wick. Atomic Blonde.
That's going to do well.
Well, how well is it going to do with a budget of $30 million? We'll go with our guest first, Jeff Shirley.
Valerian make?
Valerian made 17.
Okay.
Jeff is taking this very seriously.
I like that. I like when people take this.
Yeah, he's got a ruffled eye. And
like
he's 25?
25, write it down.
That's not a bad guess, to be honest.
I have mine written down here, so it's not going to pick it up.
Wonder Woman killed it, but it's a different kind of movie.
It doesn't have a built-in audience.
It's not like comic book. It's more action.
To me, this movie looks unbelievably annoying. It just looks like it's...
You know, back in my day, if they weren't wearing monkey masks, it ain't shit.
We didn't let women. They played secondary roles.
They're barely allowed to vote now, these people.
No, this just looks like it's just filmed weird and annoyingly, and it's too much... No, I'm going to say less. I'm going to say 17.
This is Jeff Paul saying that women can't be action heroes. Yeah.
That's not what
like
I'm saying
me.
At all.
No, that's exactly what saying.
Well, when she did I say anything about women? I just say it looks like it was filmed annoying.
It's an assist gender male joke.
It has nothing to do with women.
Well, you like gung-fu, as they call it now?
The neon annoys you. It's too much neon.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, how did Aeon Flux do when she was in that? It didn't do that well.
It was a success. No, it was because she was on Stern talk about that last week.
No one goes to watch this.
$30 million is my guess. I think the reviews are looking good. I think it's going to do well.
Yeah, what did I say, 25?
She's hot. People like her.
I mean,
This is John Wick, but with a woman, so I think it's going to do pretty well.
I disagree.
All right, and the biggest abortion, I think that the kids, write your screenplay. Here's why. Because if this film can get made, so can your piece of shit. The Emoji Film.
Ugh.
Coming out with a budget of $50 million.
Why did that have $50 million?
I'm surprised.
Because you got to get the voices. Rights to the emojis.
Yeah. We're going to start with Jeffrey Paul. What do you have for the Emoji Film?
Was it rated?
I think it's probably PG for rude humor, as they call it. For these things.
Then I don't think this is going to be good. I'm going to say 12.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, this could go either way. This movie, it's either going to like kill it.
Really?
Kids are gonna want to, you know.
I want to binge watch Emojis.
What was that? Is that your Sylvester the Cat from Staten Island impression?
Eek the Cat.
yeah, it's a good call.
I'm gonna go on the low side here. I'm gonna go. What did you say, Jeff?
I said 12.
You said 12. I'm gonna go 17.
I've got 29. There aren't any kids films out right now. This is the closest thing, even though it will be an egregious piece of shit. I think people will see it, but not to the level of like a Despicable Me. Okay, we got three more real fast here. Next up, coming out, Stephen King's long-awaited The Dark Tower, the story of the gunslinger. It's a trilogy. Matthew McConaughey plays the devil. Idris Elba is the gunslinger with a budget of $60 million. Jeff Cerulli, are you going to go see The Dark Tower, by the way?
No.
Yeah. I read the books. They were fine. I don't recall me having that burning desire to go see the film. But what do you think, though? How much is it going to make?
I'm going to be too busy watching The Ozark.
Okay. Binge watching. Binge watching.
I got binge watching.
In fact, I
got
to go right now. what is the budget? 60?
$60 million.
This is... And Spielberg?
I don't know. It's not Spielberg.
Oh, I thought you said
it's
Spielberg.
Oh.
No, it's because Spielberg's got the other one coming out. No, okay. It's got Matthew McConaughey and...
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba, okay. Right. That should do well. Say 32?
32. Jeffrey Paul?
I don't know too much about it. It's going to ballpark. I'm going to say 25.
I got 48. I think a lot of people are going to see this.
Yeah, I think
a good amount, I should say. Not a lot, but a good amount. Next up, the film, the story of the 1967 riots in Detroit with the film called Detroit, starring John Krasinski. All right, great. John Boyega, the black stormtrooper from the last Star Wars. Not the last one, episode 7. And directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who directed none other than one of our all-time favorite films, Point Break. And The Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker was great.
Budget of... I shouldn't have a budget. So, Jeffrey Paul, Detroit, how much do you think it's going to make?
Who's the big star? John Krasinski?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to stick with my... I'm going to go 18.
18. Jeff Cerulli?
I'm going to go 19.
I have 12. you just won $1 on The Price is Right. Last up. Halle Berry's still making films, but then again, who's going to go see them? A new one called Kidnap, where she sees a woman kidnapped. She sees her kid getting kidnapped, and a hot pursuit chase to chase her kid down. A budget of $6 million. $21 million. Jeffrey Paul, what do you think? Halle Berry hasn't drawn shit since.
We're gonna go $6 million.
Okay, I also have $6 million. That's cute. It's written down.
No, you gotta change it. All five right. Went first. You
five.
Okay.
What do you have? 6, 5.
Yep.
All right, I'll go higher because I don't want. I'll go 8.
Eight.
But I don't think it's not going to do well. No. 8's not obviously doing well.
No. All right. That's the game. We're locking it down. Let's get around to our guests. Hey, Jeff Cerulli, where are you going to be in the next week or so? Or what do you want to plug here?
Well, I'm going to plug my web series coming out tomorrow called The Feed. You can see it at thefeedshow.com.
Nice.
And new episodes every Tuesday for the rest of our lives now, starting tomorrow.
That's cool.
Jeffrey Paul, how about yourself?
All right. Let's see. Paisanos with Neil Brennan.
Paisanos?
Yes, Paisanos with Kevin Brennan on the 27th of this month. Comedy Under the Stars, as usual. I'll be in Delaware tomorrow, if this comes out
we're
on time.
In Delaware.
Yes, I'm at the Starboard with Mark DeMeo. And then I will be over in Galveston and Houston, Texas, all next week. Okay, so.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got a little busy schedule coming up.
Excelente. Comics Budget Comics will be on Amazon very shortly, hopefully within the next month or so. Season 4, 1 through 4 will be on Amazon. Season 5 will be coming very soon. At Comics Watching, comicswatchingcomics.com. Jeffrey Paul, though, let's get a final word from our sponsor.
Yeah, once again, guys, you know, Uptown Linden sponsoring the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Free concerts every Thursday over at 400 Wood Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, and free comedy shows every Thursday as well. Every Saturday from 10 to 2, Farmers Market, dozens of vendors. Go down to Linden, New Jersey, check it out, see what it's all about.
That's Jeffrey Paul. Jeff Cerulli, thanks for coming to hang out with us today.
Thank you guys for having me. It's so much fun.
Thanks, man.
Glad you came, man. And I'm Kevin Goatee. Sportsbook Box Office Podcast on Twitter, on Instagram, on Google Play right now, by the way, as well as iTunes. And, hey, if you're looking to sponsor, sportsbookboxofficepodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks again, guys. Take care.